You never, 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 never outgrow the need for the gospel. Here's what I want you to understand today, if you get anything today. In fact, I'll even give you a scripture that you can memorize. The gospel doesn't just save you. The gospel grows you into holiness. Hear what I'm saying. We've tried it for years by ourselves. We've tried to do it ourselves. You know it's dadgum impossible. But the truth is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection is what, it doesn't just save us. So here's what happens. By going back and repeatedly, if we repeatedly go back to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we are pushed into righteousness that we have been declared that we have, and we are pushed away from our sinful nature. But see, most view the gospel as how we get in the door. And then once we're in, we need to do other things to make us holy. So what I was saying a while ago about we do New Testament rules now. Well, you know, it does say in Galatians, yes, it does. It says it lists all the sins, knock yourself out. Good luck on that. You know, seriously, it drives me crazy. And you know what drives me crazy is we still have that pattern today. And nobody's lives changes. We'll get there. I need to stay on point. I'm going to stay on point. I'm going to stand here as long as I can on point. Here's the sad thing. Again, most view the gospel as how to get in the door, and then once we're in, we need to do other things to make us holy. My big issue with this is the Bible teaches completely the opposite. The Bible teaches completely the opposite of what we do or what we have been doing. Here's the bottom line, guys. The gospel, the finished work of Jesus, pushes us towards holiness and purity, not toward freedom to sin more. I am sick to my stomach with people thinking that the gospel pushes people to sin because of grace. You don't know Jesus. I'm going to be very clear today. You have not experienced Jesus if you honestly think that that's what he did on the cross, and the fact that he took care of all your sins yesterday, yes, today, yes, and your tomorrow's yes, but it wasn't to get a ticket to heaven or the glory land. And if you really believe that, listen to me. You don't know him. Now watch this. We'll get there here in a second. So I want to give you an overview. All I'm going to talk about today is five verses of Scripture, which is in Colossians 1 to 5. But before we get there, I want to explain to you verse 1 and 2. I want to just a real quick oversight of, and therefore I'm going to, well, therefore you're going to what if you didn't hear what I just said, right? So let's go to this one Scripture. By the way, the Colossian church wasn't as bad, if you will. I see, there I am. I'm stacking sin now. I guess they were. They weren't hung up on the circumcision like the Galatian church was. They were just hung up on regular stuff like telling you what you can eat and what you can't, you know, that type thing. It's still all the same, isn't it? It's like you're giving me tired head. But anyway, but here's what I love. Look what Paul says here. This is in the first chapter of Colossians. He says this same good news, which, by the way, in the NLT, most of the time, and really actually sometimes they use the word gospel, but most of the time they actually translate euangelion for what it means, which is good news, as opposed to using the word gospel. But anyway, so he says this good news, this euangelion that came to you, talking to the Colossian church, Paul is going all over the world, and it's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Excuse me. What is changing lives? The good news of Jesus. Not our opinion of how your life should be lived. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard it and you understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So I just wanted to give it that little chunk there. But the rest of chapter 1 and 2 are just powerful. He talks about the greatness of Jesus, his splendor, his supreme authority, his wisdom, his death, which causes our acceptance by God. Also talks about our spotlessness, that we're without a single fault. All that type of stuff is right there in the first two chapters of Colossians. Now let's get to the breakdown into the meat of this thing. And we're going to start by the first half of the first verse of Colossians chapter 3. And this is what it says. Therefore, because of all that crazy greatness that you just got to hear about, if you have been raised with Christ. The reason we need to stop there for just a second is this. Let me find my notes and I'll tell you why. If hinges on everything that not only follow, that's fixing to follow, but everything that has just been said. So if you really believe that greatness, if you really believe all that, it all hinges what follows there. Guys, you'll never have joyful holiness. I want to stop right there. You can be joyful in your life, in holiness. I'm telling you, holiness is a simple process as you walk through life. It is a natural process of an honest Christian believer that believe in Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. It is natural. I walk in joy and contentment and I'm happy. And people, are you holy? Well, Jesus is the holy one. He's the righteous one. But I am pursuing him so strongly, there is joy in it. And forever we got, as a child and up, got hammered with fixing stuff in us when it's impossible to fix. But I want you to, again, I want to reemphasize, the Bible teaches the exact opposite. The exact opposite. And I'm showing this here just in five verses of this entire Bible. I'm going to show it to you. Now, hopefully next week, I'll find five more to show it to you. I told you, I'm not looking for 10,000 things to make you happy. I'm looking for 10,000 ways to tell you one thing. Jesus is good. You're not. Get over it and walk in it. So, here's the question. You'll never have joyful holiness if you aren't really a believer in Jesus. And what I mean by that is, I have no right to judge anybody, and you know that. I'm not going to judge a heart, but I do get a little concerned about stuff. My question is, do they have a desire to know him more? Do they give their life more to him? Is there no joy walking with him? If you don't have joy walking with him, then you're walking in your own concept of him, and there will be this internal craving and this gladness. Is that in us? This gladness and joy for Jesus. As I was preparing this, I've used another illustration, but I just had two come up to me this week that are similar. When Gay and I lived in California, we lived among the stars. You know, when we first moved there, we thought we was going to see Johnny Carson down the freeway every day, and we thought we was going to have to lock ourselves up behind closed doors. You know, we rarely locked our door even at night because California's not... Parts of it, there are areas where that has to happen. But anyway, but there would be on occasion where we would happen to see somebody. One time we went to Ralph's, which is a big, humongous grocery store, and we're walking down the aisle, and there's this big, like, 7'2" black dude, and I'm like, this guy ain't normal. So, me, Mr. Curious, I walk over. Sure enough, it's a guy named Benoit Benjamin, which y'all probably don't know. He played for the Los Angeles Clippers. Not the Lakers, the Clippers. Everybody, even to this day, it's still Laker town. So here's me. I'm wanting to get close, and so I kind of walk up, and we're in the dairy aisle, and he's huge, and he wasn't a skinny guy. He was a good ball player, by the way. Anyway, so I'm standing. So this dude walks up next to him on the other side and says to him, "Don't you wish you played for the Lakers?" Wow. So I saw my opportunity. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? No, I didn't. I didn't. I was afraid to look at him. I just said, dude, I said, you got to get sick. You got to be sick of listening to that stuff. And he's like, yeah. By that afternoon, I had gone shopping with Benoit Benjamin. He's my friend. We bought together. We're probably going to have a barbecue. Now, he didn't set a date, but that's probably what's going to happen. Another time, Gay and I are in the L.A. airport. And honest to goodness, at the L.A. airport, you will see a bunch of celebrities pretty much any time of the day. And I don't know if you know, this was a Laker basketball player, Orlando Woolridge, and his family was there. Well, the Lord gives a word for Gay to give to his wife, right? I'm not playing either. And so I don't know I think they were waiting for a flight like we were. So Gay's over there, got her cornered, and I'm just standing with him, and he's only 6'9", but he's a good player, too, and he's more famous than Benoit. So So I'm like, hey, yeah. Well, so what are you doing? Yeah, we're going on a family trip. Well, that's cool, you know. And it, man, by the next day, we were buds. We were flying out together. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the truth. I don't know Benoit Benjamin. And I don't know Orlando Woodridge or his wife's name that my wife gave a wonderful word to. I don't know him. That's how I don't want to know Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you how this works. Everybody knows what a flu shot is, right? See, what happens is I think a lot of us have been inoculated with Jesus. And what I mean by that is the flu shot, you know how that works, right? Or any shot. They take a little bit of the flu and shoot it into your body so that it will repel the flu when it gets to you, right? You get what I'm saying? So if we just get inoculated with Jesus just enough to where we don't have to have anything with him. Here's what it's like. It's like an engaged couple who has all the problems of marriage but not the joy of the intimacy of a covenant relationship. Do you get it? I want to help all of us understand, because we get in this mindset that God is against us when there is nowhere in the Word that you can show me where he is against you. He's not. But what happens is we know him like I know Benoit. He could be dead now. I don't have a clue. I don't know him at all. So, now let's go ahead and add the rest of the scripture since I left the if. We'll go back. Here it is. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Watch this. How do I grow in holiness? I set my eyes, my mind, and my heart on Jesus. It's so simple yet so difficult, isn't it? See, conforming to some kind of religious practice is not the same thing as being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Again, he says, if you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on heaven. I want you to understand something. I'm so glad we had the water baptism here today. Because it says, if you have been raised with Christ, which means what? You have the ability to be raised with Christ. If you go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it talks about we are crucified with Christ. Hear what I'm saying. That is a powerful statement. If we have been crucified with Christ, that means every sin that has ever occurred in the history of mankind concerning me and my ugliness was like I was Jesus on the cross, even though it happened 22,000 years ago. And then I'm raised up. So as we buried in water baptism, that's what it represents. Man, all my ugly is down and it's gone forever. And now I'm being raised up into powerful, wonderful, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. It's really powerful stuff. So I really am staying on point. I'm so happy for me. So if we've been raised, what does he say there? He says, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above. What are the things above that I need to set my mind on? If you go to Philippians chapter 4, which is right here, this is perfect. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, hold up, what is true? True is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The only truth, the only ultimate truth in the world with no gray area whatsoever is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Man, the angels said you at Galilee when they talked to the shepherds to say, he's come, this is him. I bring you, of course, and this is where even the King James Version interpreted the word you add Galileon with the word good news instead of the gospel. I bring good news. Remember this, what it says, I bring good news. They could have said the same thing. I bring the gospel. It's the only truth of truth of truth. So we whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is more honorable than looking at Jesus? whatever is right, whatever is pure. And when I say pure, everybody goes into their sexual thought patterns. Purity is so far beyond just that. Purity is pure. Purity is the word sincere. The word sincere is from the root word, which means no wax. And no wax is when they would make a pottery thing. And if there was a hairline crack, the merchants would cover it up with a little bit of wax, and you couldn't tell that it had a crack in it. So the word sincere comes from the word no wax, which means there wasn't any crack and nothing hidden in it. Everything is lovely, whatever's of good repute. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything that is worthy of praise, like we just did for this morning, if anything worth it, dwell, live in, abide in those things. You really can do that in the midst of your horrible job. You can do it. Aaron, if you said amen, I'm coming after you. Right there. Okay, that's right. So watch this. So how I conquer sin, listen, I want to tell you how sin is conquered. Totally conquered. How I conquer sin is by setting my mind on Him. Because here's the truth. You want some truth? You can write this one down. If intimacy hinges on my ability to manage my behavior, I will never be intimate with God. I want to say that again. If intimacy hinges on my ability to manage my behavior, I'll never be intimate with Him because I can't line up to those standards. And it's not just His standards. He's the perfect one. It's my own failed standards. We'll never be intimate with Him because we'll always be in that don't deserve Him. So here, if you ever want to memorize a scripture or two, just memorize the first scripture of this, Colossians 3, 3 and 4. I'm only going to 5, by the way, so you should be happy. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Memorize that. I'm going to tell you why here in a second. Because when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Interesting, that word glory. I'll just give you a touch of it. I vetted out this whole thing at the end that I'll give to you because I love you so much. But that word glory is the word doxa. And it does mean honor and esteemed and all those words. But you know what the primary meaning of doxa is? It means judgment, opinion, and view. And as I vetted it out, there's just some crazy, fantastic stuff that comes out of it when you vet it out. No, don't go there. How dare you go there? I'm just playing, Jeremy. Let's stay there for a second because I'm going to stay on point. Okay. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. For you have died. I want to give you a crazy example, and hopefully will help you. As most of you know, I go to a dentist that's in Juarez, Mexico. And number one, I really like her better than she. If she was living here, I would go here too. But the prices are incredible. I've had tons of dental work. Anyway, so it started 10 years ago, and then I had to do sort of refresher stuff recently. Bottom line is, when it happens, I have to drive to El Paso, and I drive to El Paso, and I stay at a hotel, and then the dentist people pick me up and take me to Juarez, have my teeth fixed, take me back to my hotel, and then a lot of times I have to stay there. If it was major and I have to wait for something to be done, I've had to stay there as many as 5 days. I share all that to say this. One of the first couple times I was going there, Gay wasn't with me, I just was driving, and I was born in El Paso. And I actually graduated high school in El Paso. I was only there for 2 years, or excuse me, 2 months, because I had to leave New Mexico, and that's a whole different story. So I had to go to Texas to graduate high school, that I was 2 months at my alma mater. But after I had done that, and I stayed in El Paso until I left and came this direction. So there's tons of memories there. In fact, that when I went the first time, I thought, man, I'm going to go buy our old house. My parents bought a house in Isleta. If y'all, and y'all don't know where El Paso is, but anyway, in Isleta, when it was brand new back in the day for like $16,000. So I thought, I'll drive by there. Man, I drove by there. Holy smoke. It's in the hood now. I mean, it is the hood, which is cool because we're quasi-hood here, so I was good with it. But what's so funny is I had these visions of when I was young, and this little grocery 7-Eleven type store was so far away to walk to, and when I saw it, dude, it wasn't half a block. Because when I got older in life, I'm like, I wonder why Mom let me walk that far without worrying about me. Well, good lies, like from here to the street, you know? Wasn't that far at all. But then I went by places where things weren't good, places where just brought back rushes of memory. Even only 2 months in my high school, I remembered fight and drug addiction stuff. And then I drove by our old house on Fountain Drive, my parents' house, where I said horrible things to my mother. And anyway, the whole point is I probably shouldn't have bothered to do that. So I'm in this funk of how bad and horrible I am, when all of a sudden this wave of mercy from the Holy Spirit said, yeah, but that Steve's dead. But you know what's even more powerful than that Steve being dead? Is he's hidden with Christ in God. Watch this. You've heard me say a million times, you can't hurt my feelings. You know why? Because I'm hidden in Christ, and you can't find me. Hear what I mean by that. You know that word literally does mean secret too. Hidden secret. I'm hidden. We're all hidden in Christ, and you can't find me. Oh, throw all the rocks you want. I'm hidden. Let me see what else I got on this piece of paper. The price is what I wrote right after that. The price for all of my... Probably my biggest thing is the hurt and pain I brought my mother. I just was a fool. In fact, she was the reason I actually kind of ended up back with God, because I had made a drug deal on the phone while I was living at the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. She told me that she was going to call the cops. And so me said, fine. And then by morning time, I had two pair of jeans. True story, two pair of jeans, one shirt, pair of socks, $200 that I had in a savings account because I was a functioning drug addict and had a job. Didn't tell my job was supposed to be to work that day. Got in my 1969 Opel GT and started driving to Denton, where I'd made my dope deal. Didn't talk to my family for a week. Had she not bowed up like that, some of you parents who need to quit letting your children rule your life, she cut the umbilical cord. And had she not, I probably would have been dead. And you know, at the time, wasn't a happy camper. But the words and stuff that I said to her in those days, I'm just grateful that she got to spend some time with the alive Steve and not the dead one now. You understand what I'm saying? That really affected me. But I say all that to say, the price for all of that has been paid in full, and I'm now hidden in Him. Guys, look, down here, all there is failure. Do you hear me? As successful as we think we are, all that is down here, here's what's ironic to me. It's so ironic to me. We do down here so that we can somehow achieve. When it's just the opposite with Him. He has already accomplished everything, and we have everything we need, and out of that place is where we do. Everything on this earth for us is failure. Why? Because it's earth. It's a piece of dirt. There's sinful nature everywhere. But here's what's the greatest. It's what the Paul said. You got to live in the world, but you don't got to be of the world. And when he says of the world, he doesn't mean you separate from those that you think are less than you. Because that's what we do. Oh man, we got to start understanding this stuff. So, Sorry, I didn't mean to smile and laugh. I was supposed to be straight. Down here, all there is failure, but watch this. But when I focus up, listen, when I focus up, all I see is righteousness. All I see is holiness. All I see is perfection. All I see is greatness and grandeur. When I stay focused up, that's all I see. Now, the coolest thing about that is, that's all God sees of us. You really want to believe that, don't you? That really is honestly how he sees us, but the only way I'm going to see how he sees me is by focusing on him so that I can see like he sees me. And that's 1,943 angle. So, the more that we seek him, the more that I seek him, the more I become like him. Why? Because I'm seeking him. He is my focus. This is the only way to overcome and conquer sin. The only way. It's the only way the Bible teaches. But here's what happens. This next verse, here it is. Maybe it's coming. There it is. This is where we have always started. This is where we have always started the message of Jesus. Therefore, hold up, wait a minute. There's another therefore. What's it there for? When you seek him first. Understand that you were raised with Christ. Understand that you died with Christ and that you were raised with Christ. When you do this, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. And here you go. Here's all the guns. To immorality, to impurity, to passion, to evil desire, to greed, which amounts to idolatry. And we start there and we say, when you do this, man, then you will see him. And the Bible teaches it from in order, from verse 1 to verse 5, not from verse 5 to verse 1. Is you grabbing this? I can see because some of y'all are going, ding, 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 ding. I love that. Therefore, so, in other words, when you are hidden in Christ, when you know you are dead in him, when you seek him above everything, all these things, it does not mean it's easy. He's asking you to murder right here. Do you hear what I'm saying? This ain't playtime. Here's what happens. We do playtime with it, don't we? Oh, we do. There's a story, and in fact, I sent it to somebody. I think I sent it to you. Story of the lady and the snake. And what happened was, there was these guys that were trying to kill this snake in the garden. It was a poisonous snake, and they're trying to kill it. Well, the lady protected it. It's a little baby snake. It's just a little baby thing. And the lady protected it, and she took it, and she nurtured it, and she kept it, and loved it. Man, she loved this snake. She raised this snake, and then when the snake was an adult, she was walking out in the garden, and it snagged her. And she was dying. And she said, why did you do that to me? Why did you do that to me? Why did you do that to me? He said, ma'am, you knew I was a snake when you let me in. I saw a documentary. It's called The Blood of Brothers, The Lions of Sabi. It's just about a bunch of lions. Well, I've seen it. I'm a documentary guy. I like to watch, especially animals and stuff. This one... You, honest to goodness, you can't show your kids, man. This was six lions who, and they watched them over a 16-year period of time, by the way. 16-year period of time. Watched them from puppies, whatever they're called. Little bitty, what are they called? I don't know. Cubs. See, I thought that was Chicago. From lion puppies. Anyway, cubs, sorry. I thought that was bears, but... Lion cub. All right. Anyway, from when they're little to when they grew up. And they talk about the percentage of cubs being able to even be alive. But for whatever reason, all six of these guys remained alive. And they ended up taking out all this territory. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of acres was their domain, because any other lion that would come in, they would kill. And they would kill cubs. And then they would kill their own cubs if they decided they were in the way. And I'm watching all this, and it was brutal. And I'm like, holy smoke. So why are we shocked when the lion that's been trained attacks its trainer? And the trainer says, well, I don't understand it. Well, I do. It's a lion. Dude, watch this documentary, and I promise you, it's in their nature. And see, that's why we cripple stuff that's in our life. He's saying when we focus on him, it gives us the ability to kill it. How cool is that, man? So I kill it. It's the only time we can legally kill anything. Well, other than hunting season, we got the I call these guys the tag brothers. They go hunting so much. They're the tag brothers. They tag everything. I love these guys, though, man. Okay, so when the Bible starts about holiness, it's in verse 1, to set your mind on Jesus. But again, we've started at verse 5. So what they say is put to death what's below so you can set your eyes on Jesus. See, sin loses grip when God is a greater pleasure than the things below. Look, my mother lives at my home now. My mother is 90, almost 91 years old, and the woman can cook. Now, I don't know if y'all probably have grandmas that can cook, but when my son-in-law asked my mother, he begs her to make scrambled eggs. Scrambled eggs. Come on, man. It's just a scram. No, my mom, she puts drugs in it or something. Her scrambled egg, and then she's got deviled eggs she makes that never make it to the table because me and Jake are. The woman can cook. So I go home and she makes soup. Now, soup don't sound, but soup is awesome. Her soup's awesome. So I go home and I'm starving. I'm going to eat her soup, man. I'm going to eat it to get all up. Unless she's made her spaghetti. See, because her spaghetti, you can ask Tiffany. Tiffany has tried to make her spaghetti, and she gives her the same ingredients. But mom puts drugs in hers. I don't know why. It's called love drugs. And so if I come home and there's that soup, if there's spaghetti over here, you can forget that. I would much rather have a feast than soup. That's what happens. That really is what happens when you set your mind on him above. And it's not corny, guys. It's a constant daily battle. And what I mean, the battle is, you just, as you focus and stay with him, you will believe him. You will believe it's true. You will believe that it was supposed to start at verse 1 and work its way to 5. So sin loses its grip when God's is a greater pleasure than these things below. So I will conclude with this in a song. Here's the whole scripture put together right here. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on. Think, guys, if we are constantly trying to figure out and manage this, you can't do both. You can't. It's impossible. James said it, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What that literally means is what Confucius said. Actually, Confucius puts it very simple. He who chases two rabbits catches neither. You have to focus. And once you focus, everything else dims. And we'll get there in a second. Let me finish this. Sorry. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. When the enemy comes up and attacks you, you just remind him, sorry, that person is dead. And that you are hidden in Christ. And then when he keeps pounding, you say, you can't see me. This ain't hide and seek. This is, I'm hidden. And when Christ, who is our revealed, then you shall be revealed in him in his glory. Verse 5. Therefore, because of this, what I just said, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Because that's where death occurs in light of him, not in what you can do. All right, let's go to the next. And this is all the fancy words that I use. I do want to stop there for 1 second. There was one. Once you notice Phronio shows up, set your mind. We did a whole teaching on Phronio. That's where it is, right there in the brain. And then next. And then one more. That's all the... No, there's still one more. All that words I had to do. All those words I did for y'all. Now let's get to what it... Here it is. This is Steve Van Zandt vetted. So, if indeed... Because that's what that means. If you really... If indeed you have been raised up together, which, by the way, they should really add that into the translation because that is what it literally means, raised together, almost as one unit, not welded, but melded. Does it make sense? So if indeed you've been raised up together with Christ to this new, happy, and contented life, if you're not happy and contented, let's get raised. Contented life, keep learning and longing for and thinking on things above in heaven where Christ is. He is in his place of honor and authority and has sat down and remains seated at the right hand of God. So have the same mind God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I did all that separate because the word there that they use for God is the word theos, and it incorporates all three of the Godhead. Do you understand? All right. God the Father, Spirit, and direct your attention, your thoughts, your feelings, watch this, and your opinion of yourself. That's where that word glory comes in. And your opinion of yourself to the heavenly supernatural view God has of you, and not to the things that are on this earth. For you have died a natural death on this earth, and your real, genuine, active, and dynamic life is concealed and hidden with Christ in God. It's a double whammy right there. So as soon as Christ, who is your real, genuine, active, and dynamic life, is made evident through your words and deeds, you will also be clearly recognized being in him by the opinion others have of you. And let me make this extremely clear. That opinion is not necessarily a high opinion, because when you tell people it's all about Jesus and not about them, it angers some folks because there's something in our nature that does not want everybody on an equal level. They want to have something over somebody. When you walk with Jesus, it's impossible. You can think all you want that he loves me more or loves me less. You're absolutely wrong. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the roller coaster. Dun, 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 dun. So it's like, God, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? You get it? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all God's fault. Really? Okay, good. So, because of this, because of what? Because of what I just did, because I'm telling you to hang where you get to see the opinion that God has of you. Wow. That is so good. Y'all need to take that and chew it up and eat it later and do like a cow does cud. You know, they chew for a while and swallow it, then they back up and chew it some more. I know it's gross, but it's what we need to do sometimes. So because of this, destroy the strength of every part of your physical being. That doesn't mean to commit suicide, you know, because that'll take everyone one shot. Be dead. I love that. Be dead. Just be dead to all sexual perversion. And that's all of it, by the way. Quit handpicking it. People drive me crazy. They start talking about homosexuality when they've been, I almost said a bad word, when they've been messing around with 800 people forever. It's like, really? Really? And then if you're going to really go, if you're going to do the, here it is, you want to do the New Testament law, you got to do Matthew 5:28 that says, if a man looks at a woman in lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. You are, it's impossible. It's impossible to do this. But it's really not. If you'll stay in him, set your eyes on things above, 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 above. But what if I'm driving? You can drive and still have your mindset will be on above. And when it stays on above, you won't be cussing on the people that don't drive as good as you drive. I don't understand why everybody can't drive as good as I do. Don't we all think that for real? For real. For real. It's like, man, that guy that gets on my last nerve. You know, everybody thinks there's a person that gets on their last nerve. So that means somebody that does get on somebody's last nerve doesn't know it's them. Never mind. That was probably too deep. Okay, let me do this. Because of this, destroy the strength of every part of your physical being. Be dead to all sexual perversion, irresponsible extravagance, and impure motives. Boy, this is one where I am constantly in the heavenlies with the motives. What is my motive, God? I know what I want it to be, and I know what I'm telling it that it is. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I've got a lot, some stuff going on right now in areas of leadership, and I know what I want to happen, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang with you. I'm going to stay hidden in you because I want my motives to be right in this. So he says, destroy them. And you know, by the way, you can do that by almost journaling. You need to journal stuff that you love about Jesus. Do you hear what I mean by that? Find out where your heart affections are and write those down and know what causes you to stimulate you to Jesus. And that's one of them is my own motives. I want my motives to be right and pure. And as much as I have forever thought they were, they weren't. You know, how many times have we gone out to eat? Let's just say we've gone out to eat, okay? We've gone out to me and you, we had a meal, and it's time to pay for the meal. And so how many times have we, like, knowing that they're probably going to pay for it if we don't move quick, huh? Oh, we've never done that, have we? Okay, well, that's just me then. At least I'm checking my motives, but I'm not checking my motives and going, oh, God, please help me quit doing that. Oh, please help me quit trying to steal from people. No, it's like, I'm with you. What was my motive was pretty bad now, huh? I mean, I act like I didn't have no money, and I had some money. Well, I had a credit card, too, but God, you know, we don't go. No, hang, man. Set your mind on him. And it's not, again, I go back to one of the very first things I said. You will never be intimate with God if you feel like you have to manage your behavior. Because we connect managing our behavior with him, and it's just not. Set your mind on things above, and your behavior really does follow. It really does. And people that tell me it doesn't, it's because they haven't done it. I am the example of that. Not in a hold up. Now, I'm not talking about a perfect example. Follow me. I'm not as bold as Paul was when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. But at least kind of follow me a little bit. Just a little. So be dead to all this stuff. Let me keep going. Vengeful thoughts. Holy smoke. Vengeful thoughts. Destructive emotions. Boy, we manipulate that too, don't we? Damaging affection, selfish hunger for what others have. No, wait, Steve, that's not sin. Well, isn't it funny? We don't want sin to be sin when it's ours. Here's what's so funny. For about 3 minutes, I focused on sin, and now y'all are all. Do you get what I'm saying? So could you imagine if I did 45 minutes of that? And then just prayed, oh, God, and bless them, out the door. You go to lunch. No wonder these poor waitresses never get tipped and are yelled at on Sundays after church. There's some truth in that. My wife and I have followed people up and tipped after that. And we follow people up and apologize for people who have said bad things that were believers. Sometimes I'm thinking maybe that's what caused it. My point is, that's not what you focus on. You will never fix that by focusing. Again, how many times do I have to say it? 1 Corinthians 15:56. The law gives sin its power. You focus on what you do wrong, you'll stay there for the rest of your life. You focus on him and says about, and again, go to Colossians, start at 1 instead of 5. That's all I'm asking for today. This is that today's message. And all these amounted to an obsession with carnality. All right, now what I want to do, back up one to the top of that, I'm going to read it through holy, not holy, holy completely, not holy. Holy. Go to verse 1 of my, if you can. I don't know how easy. I'm not a computer person. There it is. Here it is. SVV, Steve Van Zandt vetted. So, If indeed you've been raised together with Christ to this new, happy, and contented life, keep learning, longing for, and thinking on things above in heaven where Christ is, and he is in his place of honor and authority and has sat down and remained seated at the right hand of God. So have the same mind that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has, which resides in you, by the way, and direct your attention, your thoughts, your feelings, wow, and your opinion of yourself to the heavenly supernatural view God has of you, and not to the things that are on this earth. For you have died a natural death on this earth, and your real, genuine, active, and dynamic life is concealed and hidden with Christ in God. And as soon as Christ, who is your real, genuine, active, and dynamic life, is made evident through your words and deeds, you will also be clearly recognized being in him by the opinion others have of you. And because of this, because of all that awesomeness, destroy the strength of every part of your physical being. Be dead to perversion and irresponsible extravagance and impure motives and vengeful thoughts and destructive emotions and damaging affection and the selfish hunger for what others have. All of these amount to an obsession with carnality. You will obsess with carnality if you keep your head down. You will obsess with Jesus if you keep your head up. It really is that simple, and it has been life. Like the Apostle Paul said in chapter 1, verse 6, of Colossians, I am one of those that this gospel has literally changed my life. And I want others to have that too. So now I've said all that. Here's where we're going. There's an old song. Here's what I love too. Some of the old songs are kind of goofy. And what I mean by that is like, hold the fort till Jesus comes, just to me is not a gospel song. That's one of the old school hymnals. But for the most part, at least 80% of them are so on point. And here's one of them. Let's put that up. You remember this? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Come on. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. And grace. You ever been laying down on your bed and staring up at the ceiling and you stare at one spot and your peripheral vision kind of loses everything and you're just, that's what this means. Let me tell you who wrote this and we'll sing it again. It was a lady named Helen Lamell, and she actually found a tract back in the late 1800s and it had something similar on this. So I want you to sing it again, and then there's three verses. I'll let you know what they are. This is kind of bizarre, but it's true. Let's do it again. Come on, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. I had no idea these verses were in there. Here's the first one. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Well, there's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. All right, listen to this one. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Last verse, here we go. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, and it's not, and send them straight to hell. His perfect salvation to tell. Pretty good, huh? So turn your eyes. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Some people sing it, glorious grace, but it doesn't fit there. And this is the original one. And here's why. Because when I broke down the word glory, you might as well sing it in the light of His opinion of you, of His view of you, and His unmerited favor. Deep stuff, good stuff. Okay, Gabe and Zant, you can come.
Would y'all just stand with me this morning? We've had a good time of worshiping the Lord this morning, in praise and in feeling and experiencing Him. And I'd like for us right now just to lift our hands and thank God. God, I'm thanking You right now for provision that is not limited to what I believe, but it is unlimited. It is unlimited because of Jesus. And I want to thank You, God, right now that every provision that is needed in this room, God, whether spoken or unspoken, those things, God, are provided for and will be done according to Your word for those who believe in You. And I want to thank You, God, that that's not dependent just on how faithful I am, but it is dependent on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and my acceptance and my receiving that into my life. Lord, I thank You right now for answers to prayer, God, that we will see. Answers to prayer, God, that we will see because we believe in the completed, finished, and undeserved love of Jesus Christ. We receive that right now. Father, I just receive that over my life, God. I receive it over those, God, who are praying. We believe together, Lord, that You can do everything and all things are possible with You. I just thank You for that right now, Lord. Can you just give Him praise for that? Thank You right now, Lord, for Your goodness, Your love, and Your mercy. We praise You, God, and we adore You. We thank You, Father God. You know, His word says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And if you're ever feeling distant from the Lord, I'll guarantee you this. When you lift your hands and just say, God, I'm just going to give You praise right now where I am. God, I just want to thank You that I'm still alive to do what You've called me to do. God, I want to thank You that where I mess up, that's the reason somebody else will have faith, because my mess up shows Your goodness and love. And God, You'll turn it. And when you begin to involve Him in your life, I promise you, the peace of God will come because the presence of God is with you. Amen. So good to see you guys here, Colleen, this morning. You guys, we love you. We're so grateful this morning to have Pete Cawthon's father with us. We are grateful. This is our missionaries to Oaxaca, Mexico. Didn't know you were here. Why don't you come up and just dismiss us in prayer today? He's always got a good prayer on his heart. Peter Cawthon.
It's good to be here. Good to worship in English. Lord, thank You so much for the word today, God, that if we'll just focus on You and not let all this earthly stuff get us down, Lord, You're going to take care of us, Lord, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional. And we just give You the glory. Thank You for the word today, Lord. It was just really penetrating and useful. And I pray that You'd bless the congregation, our brothers and sisters here, the rest of this week, and that we would put into practice what we heard today, Lord, yes, to just turn our eyes upon Jesus. Thank Lord, all this other stuff, it's the mountains are going to become like molehills. All the big things in our lives are just going to shrink and go down, diminish big time. So, Lord, bless the folks. Bless us all today, God. We want to, and use us to reach many this next week. In Jesus' name, we ask you. Amen.
And God bless Christian
Woo! Amen. Be blessed.